Hey, everybody. Sorry, I'm a minute. Oh, can you hear me now? Sorry, I'm a minute late. I was talking, but I hadn't typed in the code, so nobody could hear me. Anyway, hello. I hope all of you are doing really well today. Thinking about all of you. This is our last Q&A and clinic call for this cycle. I know it's been a busy time for a lot of you. Some of you have actually got in touch with me over the last few days and let me know that you weren't going to be able to make it today. And I see that we are a smaller group today. So let's use it to our advantage. Let's really workshop any pieces. If you're here, you know, raise your hand, get your needs met, let me know what you need. Let's really use the time in whatever way that you need. But before we jump in and I take raised hands, let's take a moment and get centered and settled. And so wherever you are, I invite you to close your eyes. And really connect inwards. Inhaling and exhaling. As you inhale, open up. Take in exactly what you need. As you exhale, release. Let go. Use the breath to connect deeply with yourself, with your inner wisdom. Inhaling, opening up. Exhaling, releasing. And as you breathe and connect inward in this way, I invite you to also connect in to the liminal space that we are all in right now, collectively, and the liminal space that you are in personally. So 2020, it's like there's a before and an after, right? There's everything that came before the events of this year. We're not yet in the after. We're still in the chaos of the cauldron of the transformation between the before and the after in the liminal space, the space in between. And so I invite you to connect in to what this energy is for you. What was before that is no longer. And then how does it feel to be where you are now? In this corridor, in this passageway, in this liminal. There is often a deep desire to arrive in the after, And yet, there is so much richness and opportunity in the in-between. As you connect in with the liminal and the in-between, I invite you to ask it, or your inner wisdom, what is there here for you to learn in this liminal space? What is the learning that is available to you in this liminal space? And connecting in, continuing to just really connect and attune to the liminal, and asking, what are the opportunities available to you in this liminal space? What are the opportunities that are available to you? And continuing to connect in with the liminal and ask it, what are the fears and obstacles that this liminal space has been bringing up? What are the illusions that this liminal time, this liminal space, has been presenting? What are the illusions? And then finally, asking this liminal space what it wants you to know so that you can be as empowered as possible as you walk through this mysterious moment. What do you need to know so that you can be as empowered as possible as you walk through this mysterious moment? And then taking a nice deep breath in, exhaling everything out. Allowing your eyes to flutter open. Just take a moment to jot down anything that you want to jot down from that meditation. And then from there, take a moment. You might be clear on what you want to receive from our time together today, or not, but take a moment to get clear. What is it that you would really like to receive from our time together today? All right. with that, I will open up the floor for Q&A. It's star two to raise your hand. Stephanie.
Hi, Joanna. Thank you for that. That was really lovely.
Welcome.
So I am struggling a little bit right now with, so I hired a VA a couple of months ago, a virtual assistant, and it was a long time coming. I've been really needing it for a while and resisting it quite a bit. And I found someone and I hired them and, you know, it's okay. It's helpful, but I'm finding myself getting a little frustrated that, you know, sometimes I'll hand off a task that I feel like I'm explaining really well. And it seems like there's still confusion and my VA has done some things that I wouldn't have done personally that I wish that she would have asked me first. Mm-hmm. I feel like there are some communication issues happening. And I also wonder if maybe I made the wrong decision. Like maybe if she just doesn't have the skill set that I need. So I'm struggling in that I know that I need help. I've had a really hard time pinning down what it is I actually need help with. Mm-hmm. And then knowing how to find people that can fill those needs and how to ask for my needs to be met in a clear way. So I know that I probably still have blocks around hiring and receiving help, and that might be part of it. But yeah, just feeling like a lot of confusion around like what I'm supposed to do with this situation, if this makes sense.
Yeah. Absolutely. Can you give me an example or two just very briefly on like mm-hmm. either the kind of mess up or things she did that you wouldn't have done? I just want to like understand a little bit more. And also what are the types of things you're handing off to her?
Mm-hmm. So this morning, so I had a student who's enrolled in one of my classes reach out to me and she was like, hey, I never received any information on how to access this class. And I signed up for it a couple months ago. I want my money back. And I was very confused because I was pretty sure that she was sent the info. So I just sent my VA an email being like, hey, can you check on this and make sure that she, you know, was in fact a student and that she received these emails. I just wanted her to check on it, but instead she went in and like actually changed her enrollment status, which triggered an email, which went to me and to the student. And it's just not how I wanted it to unfold.
Yeah.
I just wanted information.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the biggest example that's making it top of mind today.
Yep. And was she on board when this person originally enrolled?
She was not. No.
Okay. And when you just take a moment, if you have it in front of you, just look back at the language that you used with her. Did you give clear instructions to check on it?
Let me just look. See what exactly I said.
And I'm asking, I'm getting so detailed just to see if it's a communication issue on your part or if it's she's just not a right fit.
Yeah, so the email I sent was, can you check to see when this person enrolled and if she was ever sent any course emails? So that was it. And then she was like, yeah, I'll check on it. And then I started getting these emails of her, like, messing around with the enrollment.
Yep. Is it possible that she has a different definition of check on it than you?
I guess that's possible. I mean, it seems really clear to me, but maybe I just need to be more clear. I feel like part of my goal in like hiring a VA though was to make things easier.
Yeah,
and I feel
yeah.
like preparing a lot of work on my part to like communicate things to her.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, if a lot of things like this have happened or more than this one thing, it sounds like she's probably not the right person. If this is the, like, only thing where there's a miscommunication like this, I can see how, you know, check out or might be possibly be misunderstood, you know, like for Fix This. Mm-hmm. So what I would say is, if you sense that this isn't just this, you know, but that there's a lot of miscommunication and explaining that's going on and all of that, she's mm-hmm. probably just not, even if she's a great VA and a great person, like, without sounding too woo, but just, like, energetically, you might not be, like, aligned, you know, communication-wise. You just may not be mm-hmm. on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
And you do need, you know, different people on your team need to have different kinds of characteristics or qualities. Aside from being proficient at the role and the responsibility, so like one thing with a VA is that they need to be able to get you quickly, get mm-hmm. your communication quickly. So if that's not her, then I would say it's time to find someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let her go and not find someone else. You know, because
yeah.
it does take work.
I
sense that, which is why I'm saying,
yeah.
don't do that, because that's just going to be self-sabotage. You know, I heard you
yeah.
say before it was long overdue to get someone. It sucks that it's not working out, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't bring someone else more aligned and appropriate on.
Yeah.
And the person that you bring on, so just real, you know, because we could talk a lot about, we could go on and on, but I'll just tell you a couple things for now. So number one, when you look for a VA, aside from naming the roles and the responsibilities, you want to also have a section where you name the characteristics that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And the disposition that you're looking for,
mm-hmm.
That's really, really important. And what's really helpful, if you don't already have this, and it can take a little effort, but the VA that you hire can do this as you go along, is to start to put together a little bit of a handbook.
Mm-hmm.
For protocol. You don't have to think of every protocol ahead of time. It's like as things come up,
yeah.
the first time that something comes up, if you take the extra minute to explain the protocol, then not only does the VA know it, but then they can put it into a handbook that they can use, and then if they ever leave, that's there for the next person. So you don't
mm-hmm.
have to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So to just use the example that you gave, and by the way, you don't have to type it. Like, you can Voxer it to them if that's quicker for you to just do voice-to-voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take it and type it up, whatever. But in the example that you gave, you know, to just give a little bit more around that, you know, to say, you know, when a situation like this happens, and somebody didn't, you know, paid for something and didn't receive, here's the protocol. First of all, we just want to, you know, do the research and see, did the email get sent out or not?
Mm-hmm.
From there, if this happened, let's put together a template that says this. Like, if the email did go out, well, you might just respond to her personally, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in this case it's not templates, but there's sort of like have a protocol. You know, from there I will respond to the person, or if you could please respond, and blah, blah, you know, whatever it is. But so that there you start to kind of have a handbook. And then the other thing that I have found to be really helpful that can help with some of this stuff is starting in the interview process, but also once you hire someone in the onboarding, to be really clear about what your company's, your business's values are. 'Cause some of this is also a values thing. You know what I mean? Like when there is a client or a customer that has an issue, You know, our value is to do some research, to reach out to them one-on-one, to blah, 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 you know, whatever it is. If whoever works on your team, the more that they can understand energetically what your business is about and what your business's values are, particularly, you know, with the VAs, it can dip into client care. Mm-hmm. Then the better they'll be able to also understand your quick communications about things and make decisions.
Okay. Yeah, I think that I had spoken to her about the beginning about putting together sort of a handbook, and we haven't really checked in a while about that. I don't even know if that's something. We've been collecting email templates, but I don't think anything really beyond that.
Yeah, I would, you know, if you keep her, have her continue to do it, but it sounds like maybe you might want to move on if there's been a bunch of incidents like the ones that you described. Mm-hmm. Or you can tell her, you know, the other thing is you can have an honest conversation with her and say, look, this and this and this have happened. Obviously, I hired you to have less heartache and to spend, you know, to take things off my plate. And what's happening is, like, more things are being put on my plate. You know, I want to kind of shift this up to make this work, but I need to let you know if there's, like, one more miss, then I think it will be time for us to move on. And here are some of the things that I want you, like, please, you know, and maybe give her some guidelines for things that are a little sloppy right now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that would be good for me. I don't like confrontational conversations, but which is part of why I didn't want to hire people, is I don't like having conversations like this, but I think it would probably be good for me to practice.
I think so, too. I think it would be a good stretch for you. I don't think it's for nothing, again, because I don't think you can go back to not having a VA.
Yeah.
And if you hire somebody new, it could come up, right? And maybe it's less about confrontation and just more about deeper communication of your needs.
Yeah. I think that's something I need to work on in general. So
practice with the situation.
Awesome. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that helps. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Leah.
Hey, for Stephanie, I think that's who you just talked to. My VA is great, and I just asked her if she's taking on clients, and she is. She's highly intuitive and capable, and she'd understand what check it out means, for fuck's sake. Anyway, so.
Yeah, if you could you post in the group? Because also people are always asking me for VA recommendations, and I have just a very short list of people who I think are really good. So it'd be good for me to have her information too.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry that you went through that. I was just thinking, well, I was lucky I didn't have to go through that.
Yeah.
Anyway, things to be thankful for when things are still crazy. Yeah, so I'm going to ask more of a logistic question, though there's just certainly plenty going on in my personal life right now.
Mm-hmm.
So logistically, I'm working on my, like, new offer, the same stuff that we were talking about before, but I kind of paused on since I was moving.
Mm-hmm.
And what's kind of come up, I don't know if you saw my email yesterday.
I didn't get a chance to look yet.
Yeah, no worries. But as I was filling into these clients who are running successful lives or businesses but are needing to change, just to refresh who we're talking about, what's coming up for me, given everything that's going on, and I kind of want to just check my thinking, that's kind of my question, and then talk through if this is the right format and what the different versions of it could be a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But what kind of came up was, I was thinking into it last night, was like, it's not that they just need a reset in terms of, like, they don't just need, like, a little, like, oh, like, slight change. But they need to entirely change their system. So previously I was thinking about doing a weekend intensive with them. And that actually doesn't feel like it's enough time away from their lives to actually reorient everything and to actually be ready to take the next step. And so what's coming up for me is that they act like a 5-day immersion would actually serve them better, where we could do nervous system work every day or energy alignment work every day, work on different pieces of what's next for them, kind of workshop things more in person, have more space to do activities and just move their bodies and physically do different things versus, like, you know, back-to-back schedule on the weekend. And so I was kind of surprised that came up yesterday because obviously of everything going on, that's kind of an insane offer they're making right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also it makes a lot of sense, given how much stress they're under, if I can get them to actually step away. And again, we talked about this before, like they can either come to me here in Sedona, I can possibly go to them, or we can set it up so that they have an immersion closer to home where all this stuff is handled. And I guess there's some pieces of my logic that I probably should explain. So when I sunk back into this, this has kind of been a month or so since I thought about it, they're high stress. They're feeling the tug of war of, like, their business or life or whatever needs them more than ever now, and they want to escape it probably just as much. And so that tug of war is almost heightened by everything going on. And then their system is probably highly in fight or flight. They're dealing with enormous amount of dread or guilt or frustration every day to just get up and try to make everything happen. And they have no time for themselves. I'm assuming since their businesses are probably under heightened stress. And so for them to just walk away for a minute would not be long enough for them to actually reset and change their course of direction and actually mm-hmm. start down a new path.
Yep.
Yeah,
I hear what you're saying about the length of time and the reset. My question is, like, where does this offering fit in to your business model? Because, like, a 5-day obviously sounds amazing and it's great, and I think it can only work. It's not going to work as a front door offering.
Mm-hmm.
It can really only work after you have more buy-in from the person, because to take 5 days off of work when that's already one of their biggest obstacles
right.
and fears to spend time with someone that they don't have full buy-in yet. And obviously the cost would be quite high if it was 5 days. I think it's a lot of work to convert someone that hasn't already worked with you to be willing to do that. And then even if you did, I'm just putting myself, because in some ways I can put myself a little bit into the shoes of this person. I'm not exactly it, but I know what it's like to have so many things going on business-wise, to then, even if the buy-in was there, I might not be able to make those 5 days happen for months. You know what I mean? It would, and then people could get deactivated. So my worry about this is that I think it can work for people that have worked with you and have buy-in, unless it's a very, very, very strong referral from someone. But anyone that, like, does it, you don't really have their buy-in yet, it feels almost like an impossible offer to me.
Mm-hmm. So kind of two things come up for me. One is, yeah, well, there's, like, a couple things. So one is, like, the my sense of where they're at is like the pain of what's going on in their lives is so heightened, along with the terror of also leaving it all behind. Because they're in this dichotomy that they think they have to abandon their entire lives and all the success that they've achieved to go do what's true for them. And they have no idea what the path forward is to actually step into what they're called to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this, like, there's a very heightened, my sense of possibly where they're at is that there's a very heightened experience. It's a very heightened experience if they are aware of it. If they're in denial and, like, numbing out, then, you know, that's a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're aware of it, it's almost, like, the pain is almost so severe. But, like, they know they need something, and they just, like, have nowhere to talk to because everybody in their life has this expectation of them being this successful person who handles it all, right?
Yeah.
And so for them to have a conversation to say, I want to walk away from whatever, that's going to trigger the other person's fear, and then they have to deal with all of that. So I totally hear what you're saying, though, about, like, the investment and buy-in and trust and all of that. And so I was trying to play with a little what would be the first thing that they would want to know. And the challenge is I think the first thing they would want is a plan or a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that they need is space and a reset. Because if they are so psychically, energetically, emotionally, intellectually, et cetera, congested in their system, they can't even vision what's next because they're just fully burdened by where they are.
Yep.
So I was trying to figure out, like, okay, what would the downsell or the, you know, first step and then upsell
right
be?
Yeah, like, what's the exactly what's the front door offer there? Yeah, I agree. I see what you're saying is that, like, the front, and that's what I was thinking when I was sharing before, like, the front door should be more like a strategy or a plan. And then you can have the buy-in for the 5-day, but I hear what you're saying, that it's like the plan isn't going to actually be fully, you're not going to be able to get to the full vision unless they have the reset.
Yeah, because my sense, like, it could be a plan that's like a release plan.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a transition plan, but it wouldn't be like a what's next plan. Because what's next, I mean, Even if it's a relief or a transition plan, we'd have to obviously do some fear and some nervous system work.
Yeah.
But what's next is, like, what their soul wants them to do. So if they don't have space, because that's, like, taking them into a whole other realm of possibility, right?
Yeah.
And
is there a way to, in a day or two, even if it's not fully yet, to start to tap into the soul and the soul vision?
I think there is a what is your thought?
There is a what? I didn't hear that part.
I think there is a what is your thought?
Well, I'm thinking, like, you know, you can really message, like, give it context, you know, and say, because I just agree, like, I don't think the reset is sexy unless they get it and they know what they're going for, they know what the vision is, you know what I mean? Or at least part of the vision. So I wonder, like, to just be totally upfront and honest in the marketing and as well as at the beginning of the 1-day or the 2-day and say, like, you know, we're not going to get the full vision of your soul. Like, we might, but chances are we're not. And that's because you need a full reset of your nervous system in order to really go there. But during this time, what we will do is get, you know, start to really, and you can use different language for this, but like start to really lean in to the deeper soul whispers and see way more than you see now and as much as we can without the reset. You'll walk away with a really good idea of what's next for you with some next steps. And then from there, if you want to fill in all the details as well as really prepare your psyche, your soul, your mind to execute, you know, we can talk about that then.
Yeah. Well, the thing that's coming up for me in the with the download that I got about these people before is it's less that they actually, like, they're still in the, like, a 3D space. So meaning, like, work, money, time, et cetera, is more of the language space that they're at. And there might be some soul stuff, but it's not as heavy. It's not like they know that they want to do the soul's work.
Right.
It's more
so than then use less of the soul language and more of the language that's top of mind for them. But I think it's just important for, like, integrity's sake, right, to be clear that weekend or that day is like a beginning, not not the full process. But I think you can still make it really magnetizing and sexy and get a lot done with them in a day or two.
Yeah, well, I'm almost thinking that this is a virtual front door and it's like whatever. But I think also that it's actually, and you tell me if this lands for you, but that it's an escape plan.
It's a what?
Like it's
an escape plan?
Yeah, like that's actually what we're working on. Is like
for your ideal client, is that language appealing?
Well, I don't know if that's the language. Sorry about that.
Got it. Yes, it sounds like it's an escape plan, and it also sounds like it's like opening a doorway, you know, to what's been closed, but not fully stepping over the threshold, but like it's like you're helping them figure out that there is a door and where the door is and, like, helping them crack it open. But to actually, like, step into the new place would be the longer work together.
Yeah. Well, and I guess I just want to backtrack it, but to me, because for a lot of people, I think where they get stuck, and this might actually work out okay, a lot of people get stuck thinking in the oral thinking, right? They get stuck in their own corridor or before they even walk in the corridor. They think it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And so this offer is actually helping them name and see and build the corridor.
Yeah.
And then, you know, from there we would look at whatever else. Where I want to go, obviously, is, like, the soul vision and then, like, actually executing the soul vision.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with on some level what they need is just to know that there is a way to manage this or whatever and to figure that out.
Yeah. So that's where I would focus, on that front door. And get even just a little bit more, like, think a little bit, like, put, like you are now, like, put yourself in their shoes. Like, what is the top of mind first thing that they want? Like, what I'm hearing is actually right now they don't even know that they want a soul vision. But, like, what they really want is for things to be more managed in where they are now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can only sell people things that they think they need.
Right.
Or else it doesn't work.
Yeah.
All right. Is that helpful to kind of keep on noodling on from here and see what comes up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Let me know what evolves.
Yep.
Okay.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Adina.
Hi.
Hi.
So I started to ask this question last week, and I've put a lot more thought into it since then. I shared before about this program that I've started. That's a morning practice 3 days a week, and it's been going on. I started sort of at the beginning of quarantine, and I did about 5-6 weeks for free, and then started charging, and I'm coming to the end. Actually, this week is the end of the 2 month program that I offered, and I'm sitting with what to do with it from here. It first of all feels like it, the 3 times a week feels overly structured for the summer. It sort of went from a place where I had 5 people really consistently 3 days a week joining, and then it's been, you know, the last few weeks really, dwindling, and also for myself to sort of really use the rest of the summer to recharge and try to gear it up for something more substantial in the fall. And so I've just been sort of turning around a lot of thoughts with that, both in terms of the level of what I'm offering and the platform. I've had some people, one in particular, one of the people who has been part of this group, has suggested shifting to like a Podia platform. I've just been basically doing it on Zoom and then putting recordings in a Google Drive that everybody has, and it's, you know, just been very, very informal, which for the scale it is feels appropriate. You know, it's been very small and it's been sliding scale, so it's not really bringing, it hasn't been bringing in the kind of revenue that would really justify paying for a platform, but of course it would be nice if that did happen in the future. So, and I know you just have so much wisdom around strategically thinking ahead in these things. So I just wanted to bring it forward and see if you could talk me through a little bit.
Yeah.
Ideas.
Yeah. So, well, let me ask you, if you were to start something back up again in the autumn, let's say beginning of autumn, what would just like make you so happy? What would just delight you and make your heart so happy? What would you want it to look like?
Yeah, well, I mean, I do like, I think the 3 days a week is a really nice model for, you know, kind of the, usually, I think it is appropriate for the summer to scale it back, and I'm sort of, you know, that's another question that I still haven't decided, you know, sort of once or twice a week for the rest of the summer. But for the fall, I think that I do like the 3 times a week in person. And I did play with the idea of kind of having less in-person meetings and more doing more recorded content. Mm-hmm. And I actually feel like what's so special about it is the in-person container. And I think I would love, you know, I would love to have it grow a little bit. I don't want it to be huge, but if I could grow it, you know, up to like 10 people and have a sort of a healthier spread on the sliding scale that I've put out rather than kind of everybody basically at the bottom, then it would turn into just a nice little income source which would be wonderful. I mean, then between that and sort of ramping up the one-on-one coaching, again, sort of organically, because I hate marketing and the word of mouth is nicely, but between those two things, it would be enough that I could, you know, it would be enough for right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So a couple things. So I feel like you're really clear on what you want. I'll mention a couple of things that are on my mind, and then you can tell me if that's sort of giving you what you need or if there's something more specific that you're looking for. So one thing is that, you know, 2020, like this year, 2020, whether people go to school or not or have kids that go to school or not, like, there's something about the beginning of September that is like things are starting again, new cycles, opportunity for new beginnings. There was kind of like a loosey-goosey summer with less structure, and now we're moving back into like structure and organization and focus and all the things. That's true on a, you know, a different kind of year, most years, but because of what's happening this year, that time of year is going to roll around, and most people are not going to have that container, that like the new quote unquote school year holds for them. A lot of people are, not everyone, but a lot of people are still working from home, or work is like weird and funky, or they don't know what's happening with their kids in school, or, you know, like all the things. And so anyway, the reason why I'm going on and on about this is because I feel like there is a big value in what you're providing and the structure that it can provide people in a moment where they deeply, deeply desire structure, but there isn't much. And I think either for new people or for people that have been in, like, you can really use this as one of the messages to really compel people to step in is like, you know, because I think it's very hard, it's going to be very, for as hard as it is for people right now, I think come September 1 or around Labor Day, things are going to be even harder because that really is the time of year. It's like vacation is over, you know, like all the things. And so I think that's one message point to really use to bring continuing people in and new people in is like this, whatever desires you have in your life, whatever your goals are, you know, inner or outer, like here is a container, here is structure, which is always important, but especially right now. So that's one piece that I think will really be compelling for people. The other thing that's on my mind, these are just random thoughts, is I think that, and I say this almost to most people that are work in this community that are attracted to work with me tend to have this, and you do too, Adina. I do also, which is that I think that when people experience you, when they connect with you, when they experience your energy, when they're in a space with you, when they're in a container with you, they're even more activated and magnetized and want more of that. That's not true for everybody. It is true for most of the people I work with. It is definitely true for you. And so that being said, I'm wondering if in August, in preparation for kind of the like restart of the more structured in September, if you do one or two open community sessions where people can really experience what the practice is like with you, And then from there, you can make an invitation in.
Yeah, I like that. Do you have thoughts about the question of, like, continuing to do it just informally on Zoom and, you know, the Zoom Google Drive model versus sort of formalizing and professionalizing it? I was doing some research on, you know, Podia and some of the others, and, you know, and it's just, kind of hesitant to make the investment for the scale that it's at.
I honestly don't think that you should.
Yeah.
Unless it's really bugging you, but it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And it feels like a little bit of self-sabotage, like adding this whole other layer of this. It sounds like it's working beautifully the way that it is. And also there's something about the not polished nature of it that's actually appealing to the people in it. Like, it's intimate and it's just, you know?
Yeah, that's really good feedback because, you know, because that feedback did come from somebody who's part of it, I was like, oh, you know, maybe. You know, and there is a sense that it is a layer of work. It's sort of, I have to kind of, up, you know, transfer the files over and everything. And there's no organization to it. It can't really, like, look through, you know, but it is what you pay for, you know. I'm making it very, very, very accessible.
Yeah,
so.
I just don't, right, you're not charging enough to, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and I don't want to charge a lot. I mean, I really want to keep it.
No, I get it. This is a community
offering.
Yeah,
cool. That's really helpful. I do have another question, but I'll circle back and put my hand back up if there's time.
Okay, sounds good. I think there's another hand raised or two, and then.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Kara.
Hi, Joanna. I appreciate the space because I wouldn't have worked on this otherwise. As you were doing your opening, I realized there was something here. So my film is coming out online on Friday. And I'm just not feeling good about it. No, I mean, it's done. It's like, it's over. There's no turning back now. and it's, of course, I was just like doing something in my Facebook yesterday about criticism. But yesterday there was I've had some reviews when it first came out. In the fall, you know, in person, you know, that were mixed. This particular one was like hard on my dad, just calling him like sad and delusioned. I had like kind of a business question about like, how can I, you know, tie this to my work maybe with an offering, but like, I think the inner piece is like just feeling like I'm just bracing myself for like all the trolls. And and I know there's going to be like lots of love. But I find myself just feeling unexcited. And I want to feel a sense of ownership around this accomplishment.
Yeah. So first of all, tell me what's the, you, because I sense you have wisdom around this.
Mm.
What's your wisdom?
Hmm.
Because this is so much what you teach, Kara, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, the wisdom that came through in the meditation at the beginning of the call was based on an image I saw on a walk this morning, which is this tree that was rooted, just extending its branches, like in this kind of humble, generous expression.
Yeah.
And like some storm's gonna come by, like,
yeah,
knock off the branches here and there, but it's not gonna like change what it is and what it's offering.
Yeah. That feels really powerful to me.
Mm-hmm.
Take a moment and close your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And move into the energy of that tree. Really, even more than attune to it, like move into its energy.
Mm-hmm.
Allow yourself to be that tree for a few moments. Can you feel it?
Yeah, I can feel it.
Yeah, how does it feel? How does it feel in your body?
I can feel the roots running deep, and just a sense of solidity in my legs.
Yeah. Are you holding your phone right now, or are you on a headset?
I'm on a headset.
Put your arms, don't think about it, just put your arms out, mm-hmm, as if they were the branches of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And take a moment and settle in even more deeply. How are you feeling?
I can feel the immediate vulnerability of that, like,
yeah,
exposure and the, even just the energy it takes to keep my arms extended. But it feels right and like what it feels on purpose.
Yeah. Good. You're doing great. Continue to stay with that. Just really be with that. And as you feel the effort that it takes to hold your arms or your branches, mm-hmm, this isn't about, mm-hmm, right or wrong. Like, that's fine. But let's just experiment with this for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Feel those roots. And instead of using your own life force energy to hold those branches,
mm-hmm,
up, bring, mm-hmm, energy up from the earth through the roots up to hold the branches. And just, there may or may not be a shift, but I'm wondering.
I could feel like another level of the roots connected to ancestors.
Yes.
Or just like, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. Like, I don't know. It's not that like life world changing of a film. I mean, I'm not trying to like diminish it, it's just like a story, but there's something about like what had to happen for it to be.
Yeah.
feels really big.
Yeah.
So I can feel that. I did feel the shift of like a more vast holding of the whole thing.
Yeah, good. So just make a body memory of that for right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want to be calling upon over the next week, 2 weeks, whatever
mm-hmm.
it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as it mm-hmm. gets released and things come up, and don't source the energy just from your life force. You actually have
mm-hmm.
a much deeper resource than that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that land?
Yeah.
Good.
Well, and also to hold just the energetic that is big, that sort of holds like what I can tell myself is sort of the smallness of the film.
Yeah.
Like it's,
that's right.
There's a whole, it's like a 75-minute thing, but there's like a whole energetic,
yes.
Some like holding of it or roots to it that are something, it's something to see and claim and remember.
Yeah. Yeah, and that it's a story that wanted to be told. You know, it's like
mm-hmm.
it's your story, but it's also its own thing that you're the steward of.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah, and I think that's a helpful framing because it doesn't feel like me anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's its own entity, you know, that you're the
mm-hmm.
steward of. And it, I don't think it's like Kara needed to tell this story in this way.
Mm-hmm.
This story needed to be told.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that helps me feel less like it's me that's being criticized or
yes, that's
even
right.
my family.
That's right. That's right.
And that was what was so interesting about this review from last night was like, it was talking about my dad, like this character.
Yeah.
Like that he wasn't even human. And I'm like, oh, well, in some ways, it's not my dad, you know.
That's right. No, now that
yeah.
there's this film, it's not your dad. It's an archetypal one of the archetypal energies that your father represents, based
mm-hmm.
on who's watching it and reflecting onto him.
Totally. Yeah.
It's actually just like a movie screen, you know, that's being projected onto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seeing everyone seeing their own father.
That's right.
Or their story about their own father.
Yeah, exactly. Or whoever that is in their life, right?
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
How's all of this feeling?
Good. And as I hold it that way, I feel a welcoming energy of that type of response. Like,
yeah.
Oh, this is an opportunity for you to be unconsciously even like verbalizing something about your father.
That's right. Yeah. You're
this is an opportunity for everyone to look at something.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's stirring the cauldron for people the
mm-hmm.
way that good stories do.
Mm-hmm.
And archetypal stories too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that feels helpful.
Okay, good. I'm going to be thinking about you on Friday.
Thank you, Joanna.
You're welcome. Okay. Pinball.
Hi, Joanna and everyone. So my general question is, it's around supporting clients to trust themselves. But I want to start with one who I think I'm struggling to get off, like, the wheel of, I don't know if it's the wheel of self-sabotage,
mm-hmm.
but she's having a really hard time, like, move to a new place, is, you know, is somewhat in, you know, compromise, so is really, you know, isn't having that many, you know, that much, like, engagement, and so, like, with other people, and so her main thing is, like, you know, for one, like, a few weeks ago, she was drinking a ton, and reduced that, like, she was drinking, like, a bottle and a half of wine a night,
mm-hmm.
like, for one person, to no, like, no judgment, that just seems to me like a lot. It was more like concerning, and she caught that. So 2 weeks ago, you know, we were kind of, you know, just looking at, kind of like at less like these, so she keeps coming with, so she doesn't prepare for the session, and it's like she wants to talk about, like, okay, what are, like, the minimum things that I commit to doing every week. And I really, and so we shifted that to like what's important, or like, you know, one or two like small things, because there's so much also around her diet. And like a year ago, she got super sick. And and so then there was like some improvement. But it's like, she just doesn't have like the resolve. So yesterday we were working with the judge, and like brought her in. So it's like, there's the daily judge, and then there's, so even, so like we were able like to work through one session ago where like she feels more confident in her daily decisions, but then there's like the milestone judge, of like the whole world is on pause, and I'm, you know, going to be 41, and she wants to date and she wants to have a child.
Mm-hmm.
And she's right that the world is on pause for like so much of that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet at the same time, right, like she's not preparing herself in any way. She's not preparing like her body, let's say, and she also just moved, so there's just a lot of, like, transition. So at the end of the call, she was, you know, so that's the judge we worked on, this, like, milestone judge. And then at the end of the call, like, she was really, really upset. And, yeah, so, like, I didn't really, like, we were already, like, way beyond time. And then she accidentally sent me a message last night that's like, I'm home, thanks, I love you. And I was like, hey, did you mean to send this to someone else? And she's like, yeah, she's the one friend who I have in my little circle. I felt really depressed after our call last night. So, I mean, that's, right, like it's okay that she was depressed, but I'm, yeah, I don't know. It's like, she keeps wanting to come up with, like, let's come up with a plan. And it's like, well, our plans aren't working. So, like, let's go deeper. And, yeah, but it's like she doesn't really trust herself, like, or her life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if there's something that, like, I'm not seeing. And, you know, part of what she realized yesterday is that, like, you know, there are a ton of people out there who are you know, who are lonely, like, there's also men, that's who she's interested in, are, like, looking for connection. And, yeah, it's really hard for her to commit to, yeah, I don't think she wants to, it's kind of like, I think that she has this idea of, like, she's super worried about time, and yeah, the world, like, is on pause for a lot of this. It's not on pause, like, for looking into, you know, into donors or doing things differently, but that's not what she wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just want to make sure I'm clear. So when you say the plans don't work, is it because she's not following through?
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, we haven't made plans for a while just because I'm like, I don't think that that's helpful. It's kind of like, you know, she knows what she needs to do. So we talked about kind of like, all right, like, you know, like, how do you want to feel? And like, now she's better at like the short term and kind of practicing making decisions in terms of like, no, actually, like, I don't want to overeat, or, you know, I do feel like cooking or like taking a walk and things like that. And now it's more around, yeah, it's like she thinks that like she's missing like resolve.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to say some things. I feel like a little, for whatever reason, it feels nebulous to me, like not, I don't know, it feels a little, but maybe some of this will help and activate some things for you. One is, I think it's great that you did the work with the judge, but remember, like, that's just the first piece of the work is the awareness. And it makes perfect sense to feel depressed, you know, after that, just considering everything in the world and what she wants. And also, like, because it's hard to, like, look the judge in the face and see all the things and all the ways that you've been judging yourself, you know, all the things. But, you know, if she's willing, like, the next step from there is to bring it into practice. Like, really, you know, the way that you've brought these other pieces into application in her life, making decisions in that moment, like, to do some work on really calling out the judge as it comes up in her day-to-day life, and to, like, as it happens, to be really clear, like, this isn't me. This is the part of me that's the judge. This is how, what it's saying. This is how it's impacting me and my mood and my actions and my experience, and to start to really harness it in a different way, so that it can be less of like that, this hyper, you know, on steroids, judging her all the time, and be more put into its rightful place, which usually is like an incredible discernment tool, which is interesting because that's a little bit of like what you've been working with her on already. So that's one piece. I don't think it's going to solve her problem if she wants a relationship right now, but I think it is going to help her be easier on herself as she moves through her days. You know, like, not get down on herself on the milestone. And then the other piece is, and I am no health expert and not suggesting anything at all, but is it true that, like, she can't date at all during this time? And I just say that, again, not from any expert level medically, but I do know that dating sites are alive and well right now, and that people, if you are responsible and safe you know, like there are ways to be connecting with people.
Totally. And we talked about that, and she actually, like, you know, earlier this week, like, started to explore the apps again, and that's where she came up with, you know, with, yeah, like, with this realization that, like, there are other people out there who are seeking, mm-hmm. like, you know, companionship.
Yep.
And...
yeah, in some ways now is a better time than others because of that.
Right, no, because people are so much less distracted and super lonely.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'd say, like, maybe it's not the exact moment for a plan, but there could be some outer action that she can be taking. But I would pair it with going, you taking this awareness of the milestone judge to the next level so that she can kind of be a little bit more unburdened by its judgment.
Yeah, because, like, with the with this milestone judge, she got that, like, right, like, this judge really just wants her to be happy and have joy,
mm-hmm.
but that, like, what she's taking away is a reminder of a clock that's not stopping, and yeah, and that's also, like, real.
Right. There is a piece. So, okay. So just a couple more pieces there. Again, back to, like, application in her life. It that really is the next step, is to start calling it out and becoming aware of it as it happens. But the other thing, just with the last piece you said, like, is it possible for her to hold two things at the same time? Like, yes, there is truth to, like, a ticking clock, but is there also another image that isn't going to pretend like the clock isn't there, but is there another clock or time image that is going to be a little bit more supportive and nourishing for her too, that can almost make the ticking clock be more empowering?
Yeah.
So that might be another place to look to, like, actually work with that imagery itself. You know, and it might be that, like, that ticking clock has a certain kind of voice and dialogue, but, like, what would a different kind of clock, even if it's still ticking, that looks a different way? You know, I don't know, there's different ways to go there, but I think you can use that image. Okay.
I like that. So would you wait for, like, a session for this, or, like, I feel like at least, like, talking, it'll be a couple of weeks.
All right, so I would, I'd email her and I'd give her some homework, and I'd say, like, if she's willing and if she can tolerate it, to draw a picture of the ticking clock, and then after she draws the picture, to, like, write out some of the things that the ticking clock says to her, and then after that, new piece of paper, maybe she can, like, even, like, close her eyes and, like, move into an energy of a different type of clock, one that is much more nourishing, you know, without being, like, a lie or a fantasy, but just a different image of a clock that's more nourishing, and to, like, feel the energy of that and then draw that and write what are the messages that one says. There's more, you know, you're going to need to voice-to-voice after that, but that can maybe get her started on something.
Great. Yeah, because she's feeling very unsure of herself, like, very vulnerable and unsure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think like, yeah, this could really help.
Awesome. Let us know how it goes.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. There are a couple more hands raised. I'm going to try to get to everyone. We may go a few minutes over, but if I can, I will. Who is this in Orlando, 0700?
Hey, Joanna, it's Michelle, and it's an Orlando number, but I'm now in Texas.
That's right, you're now in Texas. Congratulations on your move.
Yeah, yeah, still working through all of that, but that's okay. I'm happy to be here. Part of what I wanted to ask you about was, you know, for the last 15 years, I've had a business that has been supporting real estate agents. I have a team of people we call transaction coordinators that do a lot of the admin role in their business. I'm transitioning away from that in running it and really just turning the clients over to the girls. It's been something I've been wanting to do for a while and, you know, now have said I'm doing it. So for the last few weeks, or the last month and a half, I should say, I've been working with my team. I call them the girls. My question for you is, in addition to stepping away from that, I have been teaching other people how to do what my team and my company has done. Yeah. Again, very deep in the real estate space. No offense to real estate people, but I'm just kind of over the real estate space, but I love the business building space. And yeah. I am really trying to, I think, figure out, almost from a positioning standpoint, how to marry those two. I mean, I wrote a book earlier this year. It's about the journey. I bring in the magic and all of that. But I think I've just sort of been hesitant to really put myself out there. And I'm struggling with tying it together, making an announcement I'm leaving. But there's, you know, it's not a failure. It's a step in a different direction without losing credibility. Does all of that sort of make some sort of sense?
I think almost all of it does.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Let me just ask a couple of clarifying questions, and then I think
Please.
I'll have it. First of all, just because it will help my brain, can you just describe briefly? I'm realizing right now, like, I actually don't even know exactly what your company does. I get that it's in real estate, but just so I get it a little bit more. And, like, what is it that you've taught them? Like, what is it that you've really figured out in the real estate
world? Yeah, there's a 15 years ago, I discovered that there was a void in the industry. Real estate agents, once a deal goes under contract, there's a lot of admin work they need to do. They're taught to sell.
Yeah.
So what we did was put in place the admin role or the admin support to those real estate agents.
I see. So
and
your people kind of work, get leased out to different realtors?
Correct. Yeah, correct. Uh-huh. Correct. And then 5 years ago, I wrote a book about the process, thinking it was a positioning tool to show the real estate agents, hi, you know, we're pros. Like, look, I even wrote the book.
Yeah.
It turned into something else. I now have people who reach out to me to coach them on how to do their business. And then I created a course and I sell those. And those go really well. I teach people how to do basically what I do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, like, my real passion is how to help people create a business that's in alignment with what they really, how they want to show up in life.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be a real estate business.
It could be anything.
It could be anything. Yeah, so I think that it's a very natural and organic next step, and that you can really, like, use this transition, I think maybe even to bring some more business in, quite honestly. So, you know, what I see, this may not be your words that you would use, but, like, what I really see is you've loved doing the work that you've done for the last 15 years. It's contributed greatly to the real estate industry and to real estate agents and companies, and to increasing their ability to grow their business and grow their income. And where you're at now is that even though you love all of that, what you've found through this work and then through the last years supporting other real estate agents and, you know, people in the industry – to grow their businesses is that your deeper passion is business and entrepreneurship and supporting others on the inner work and the outer strategies to really create and execute and lead the businesses that they love. And so you're taking all the, like, experience and wisdom and all that's that, you know, has come through the last 15 years and really moving it forward into to do this for any entrepreneur, not just ones in the real estate business. I mean, to me, it's like a perfect organic next step.
Thank you. I feel it is too, but then again, I'm also was slightly hesitant. If I'm no longer doing that, how can I coach people? But I think that's a limiting belief. I don't have to be in the day-to-day trenches.
Yeah, and you can even say, I can no longer be in the everyday trenches if I'm going to, you know, continue to support entrepreneurs in their big vision. Because that's the truth.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I'm spread too thin already.
Yeah.
Okay, that was really helpful.
Good. I'm glad. I'm really excited. And I get the fear because it's like you've been doing one thing for so long, you know. But really,
yeah.
Michelle, the last few years, you've started already transitioning into this new thing. It's to me, it doesn't look like whatever word you want to put to it, like an abrupt change or that didn't really work or flaky or, you know, whatever is going through your mind. To me, it's such an organic, natural next step evolution.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank
you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. We're almost at 2:30. I want to acknowledge that. And Dana, I'm going to get you. Adina and Inbal, I know you raised your hands again. Let me see how long it takes with Dana, and we'll go from there. But if not, post your Facebook group. Dana.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So let me see what my question is, because it's more of something that's just been coming up for me. At this point of my coaching journey practice. So as you know, one of the biggest reasons I started working with you, because I was like, I want to be able to create transformations and not just breakthroughs and move away from like single sessions to bigger programs and containers. So I've been doing that. I've been practicing that. So I'm excited about that. And I just feel like I'm in this growth phase for myself. So that feels good. So I guess this, what's coming up for me now is probably totally natural. And I don't know, maybe there's nothing I need to do with it. But what I'm sensing into is like, I am getting like really, really phenomenal about creating like really big breakthroughs and new transformations or facilitating that process for clients to do so. And I think because one of my tools are like Oracle systems and people that like those things, like that really helps them.
Mm-hmm.
So I use that a lot in my work. But now I'm like on this precipice of like, am I getting them? Am I helping to facilitate deeper transformations? Am I just, you know, facilitating more and more breakthroughs? Obviously it's not like one or the other, you know? So I guess I'm just trying to figure out like how to track that, especially because I guess I'm in the new phases of offering the bigger packages. Like maybe I've had a handful of 3 months people and now I'm signing on new ones, and I just want to, you know, be able to just make sure that's what we're doing. I do have 3 month people. Like I have one client who just keeps like re-upping for 3 months. So I mean, something's working for that person, obviously.
100%. Yeah. So it's such a great question. Yeah, no, it's such a great question. So, a couple of things. First of all, it takes time, like real change. Like, let's just be honest, you know, like forget about whatever glossy marketing message some coaches put out there, like honest, honest, mm-hmm. honest. Real transformation, generally, more than nine times out of 10, you know, 49 times out of 50, whatever, takes time. It takes time. And it's not a science where it's like, do this, 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 and that, right? And then you get this. It's an art. And the transformation comes when there is the consistent attention paid to the breakthroughs and then the application of them. Mm-hmm. And from what you're describing, it sounds like that's what you're doing in your work.
Yeah. So as you're saying that, and I'm writing it down because that was good, paid to breakthroughs and application. Okay. So yeah, as you say that, so now I'm realizing like even the parallel to me in my own life, like myself personally, just in my life, I've always been good at having breakthroughs and new awarenesses. And then like the struggle then becomes the tangible like application to create the deeper change. But I like I'm getting better at that. Like even,
yeah,
you know,
oh
the
God.
Blueprinting has been so hard for me and like all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess like that's what I'm sensing I'm stepping into with my clients. So like the clients that are very good at creating plans and taking action, I'm like sensing even one of my clients, like I barely have to handhold her. She gets a breakthrough and then she runs with it.
Mm-hmm.
But like that, she's doing that. And like, that's why she gets so much. But then the ones like I'm finding, I'm not sure this is like a new 3-month client I have, but like, she's a talker. She's like, feels like she's like addicted to the breakthroughs like me, like, oh my God, I never thought of that. And like, this is kind of another question within even the same question I have in a different way, but like even on the session, like even like on my other client who's really good at like applying and stuff, like our sessions seem to be just shorter. And then the other one, like sometimes like I'm going way over too much with this other one because it's like hard for me to like snip it and be like, okay, let's focus on this then for the week instead of just like stretching it out and having all these breakthroughs. So then finding like wanting to make sure that now that I'm in like week, month one with this client, that's a 3-month, that we do make sure, you know, we're moving in the direction towards something versus just like perpetuating these like mini ahas, but
yeah.
then not moving forward. So
right.
I guess
so,
maybe the homework, maybe in between, and maybe that's
exactly.
where I struggle. Like I
right.
struggle creating those resources for them. And sometimes I like neglect it and then we're on a call again and we're kind of like starting a new loop. So.
Yeah. Yes. So exactly. So the other thing I'll say about transformation, which is what you essentially just said, is that it's a combination of inner and outer. Like there, real change rarely ever happens when it's just the inner, you know, or when it's just the outer.
Mm-hmm.
And so based on what you're sharing, it feels like I always feel like the best kinds of sessions, and it doesn't have to be like this every time, but generally the best sessions are a combination of the inner work and then strategizing.
Mm.
Even if the strategizing is like the last 5, 7, 8 minutes, without the inner work, without the strategizing, the application gets lost.
Yeah.
The persistence and consistency, right? So what I would say is as you're working with, so it's like, I think you needed to get to this point to get really good at breakthroughs, which you are, you know, to now maybe back off slightly on so many breakthroughs in a session and think of it as like what's going to be more powerful, not for every session. Every session is different, but for many of them is like less, like after the first breakthrough, what's the strategy?
Mm.
And then homework for sure. And what's the accountability container in between sessions? That's the other difference between one-offs and a group of sessions. It is not just that it's more sessions, it's that it's a container for the entire cycle, and you're holding them in between sessions too. That doesn't mean you're doing a lot of work in between sessions, but there's an energetic holding and there's more. That makes sense?
Yeah, it's it totally makes sense to my brain. So I guess I'm just like trying to settle into that space energetically, and I'm sensing, you know, the edge, my edge, because I'm like, ooh, okay. And I'm sensing where I've been struggling with it a little. So like as far as session time, I feel like you and I maybe have talked about this. I guess I have this like feeling or belief that like I like need more time or space on each session, but like I've had sessions that go to like 2 hours and I'm like, oh shit, like this is not okay. So like if it's a 3-month container, is like 60, 75 minutes okay?
It just depends on your process.
Yeah. So I feel like I guess I need that.
Yeah. You might get quicker over time, but I think maybe for right now, have your sessions be on the longer, near 60, 75 minutes.
Okay.
Just to give yourself the space.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I guess I don't have any more. It's just like something I'm touching into now. And I just feel like the nervousness coming up around stepping into that space as I'm taking on a new, I'm taking on like a new 3-month client that like I've already sensed in. There's so many limiting beliefs, like so many that like even when we talk for like, you know, a half hour and I'm just trying to pull stuff out, like she says things so matter-of-factly that are just so not true. Or like, you know, that are so not necessarily true.
I mean, like for now, focus on one at a time. Think about like one per session kind of thing.
Like so
whatever.
If I hear something, just stop it and then like pull that out and go deeper.
Exactly. If it feels like it's really impacting her, you know, and holding her back. Yeah.
And then like work with the friend fear / like limiting belief process. Like
rewiring,
rewiring, yeah. Okay.
Yep. Any of that.
Okay. All right. I guess I'm just in like the play time where I'm mastering my skills.
That's right. Like
it
you've
feels
come
uncomfortable.
So you've come so far, and this is like what you're bringing up to me is really good news because what it says is like you're not only ready for your next evolution as a practitioner, but like your business is necessitating that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because your business is evolving. So I think it's all good news.
Yeah, totally. And not being like my comfort zone. Like I feel myself like after a session, if it got a little like messy and I did like, you know, like I'm getting a high off like all these breakthroughs. And like when I end the session, I'm like patting myself on the back, like, yay, that was so powerful. And that was great. If it was like a big aha for the person. Mm-hmm. But if there was like some messiness and this and that, like I'm feeling like I sucked. But I think it's just because I'm trying different skill sets and I'm doing more of the transformation stuff. So I guess
That's
I shouldn't
great.
Base my quality of a session on like how I feel after in that sense.
100%. Breakthroughs are amazing, like amazing, amazing, amazing. But they're also parlor tricks. Like, I mean, I don't want to diminish them. I mean, it's hard, you know, to create a breakthrough, but it's like the real work really is the transformation, and that's messier, and that is longer, and that, you know, and so you're in the right place. Like, you're going in the right direction with all of it.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you. And yeah, I'm so glad to stay in this container because then I can just bring all this to the table as it keeps coming up. So thank you.
You're welcome. Good. Me too. All right, everybody. Anyone else that I didn't get to today, I want to answer your question. Please post in the Facebook group. I will get to it. I promise. I'm sending you all a lot of love. And I'll talk to you soon.
The moderator has left the conference.